Let me gimel and mitzvah will also do lamed dalet. So let's begin. This is from the Mishnah. Halacha Zayin. Shnei achim echad ani vechad asher. You got two brothers that were inheriting from an estate. One happens to be quite wealthy, the other is poor. And the father left them a merchatz or beit abad. Merchatz is a bathhouse, a beit abad is a press. However, both of these are something that could either use for their own purposes or they could rent it out. So if our son the schar, if it was something that our father in his lifetime was rented out. Then Aschar La'emtza, and then they get to enjoy both the rich and the poor person would split the profits as the Yorusha, as it was in their father's time, their Yorusha. Asan Atzmo, however, if the father actually produced things for his own private use, well, the Ashir has a good use for this. Hare Ashir, but the Ani can't really afford to maintain it. So can they now switch paths and say, okay, let's just rent it out? No. Hare Ashir, the Ashir can say, La'ani kach lecha avadim, you go get avadim, v'merchatz, and you can wash in the merchatz. Kach lecha zeitim, go purchase olives, or bo v'aseh beit avad, you can use the beit avad. In other words, as it operated in their father's life, so it operates until they do a proper, if you like, division of the estate. And since in the father's life, he kept it his own thing, it wasn't rented out. And despite the fact that only the Ashir has the money to really operate and get benefit from it, nonetheless, it maintains our course. Let's continue. Shnayim shu be'ir, there are two people in a city. Shem achad Yossi ben, or Yossah, you've got here, ben Shimon, v'shem achad Yossi ben Shimon. So you've got two people who have the same name in a city. Ein echin shtar chov ze al ze, v'lo achad yachol le'atzi aleihem shtar chov. They won't be able to take a, you won't be able to produce a loan document from one on the other, because each of them will say, no, I'm the creditor. And similarly, if someone had a loan document with the name Yossi ben Shimon, he wouldn't be able to collect his debt because each of them will say, no, you borrowed from the other person. So nimtza lachad ben shteirot, let's say, lachad ben shteirot tav shteirot shel Yossi ben Shimon parua, shnei shteirot shel shneim pruim. Let's say what you have is an individual in his house has lent money to both these Yosef ben Shimons, if you like. And he found in his house a receipt or a document saying that I've this the shtar of Yossi ben Shimon is parua is paid. Then really we don't know whose it is, so we have to assume they're both parua then, because each of them can say, well, it was mine. Ketzad, what do you do in that situation? We've got similar names, and Yeshaleshu. Basically, you start saying Shimon ben Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov, for example. You'd have to go a few generations up. If they've got the same names three generations, make a siman. Now the siman here means, like, for example, he's tall. You re reference to some sort of bodily feature that makes them distinct. However, if however they were the same, it's a bit like when you say, oh, you know the person for sure. He's the one with black trousers, white hair, and glasses, and dark hair. Like that could be anybody. So if they're so similar in simanim that you can't use any siman to distinguish them. Then you would write, oh, here's the Kohen, so-and-so a Kohen, or so-and-so the Israel, or so-and-so, it sounds like the Levi as well. Interesting that that wasn't something that was used as an option earlier on. Okay, but let's make something for further study. Let's continue. If someone says, he said to his son, one of my debts in my care is paid, and the father says, Niftar, then what do we say? We don't know who it is. So there, any of there is a shtar, kulam purim, therefore, you can't collect any debt because that may be the one that was paid off. If, however, there were two debts in the house, like two loan contracts in the house, well, then clearly you can collect one of those debts from that individual, meaning two debts there, two loan contracts to the same person. Since the father said one is paid off, well, he can at least collect something, but which one can he collect? So the Gemara says, so Mishnah says, Hagadol Parua, we assume that the larger one is paid off. And the small is not paid off. Now it might not just be because of Suffolk we work it that way, because the Gemara adds a bit further. You see how it says Tani lo doma imach katan. So it's not just because of a matzimah chavalor type of position, but it's because of the psychology. This is the way Pnei Moshe explains it, that if someone has a large debt and a small debt, the aimer, the dread that one has, or the stress that one has from the larger debt is much more. So he's likely to want to pay that one off first. Now you might think, oh, just pay off the small one, but the Gemara says the rationale is because of stresses so much for having this large debt, he will make efforts to pay that one off first because of the pressure that it provides on an individual. Okay, let's begin. Let's go to the next Mishnah. Halacha chet. Someone lent someone money and there was a guarantor on the loan. Lo yafra, he cannot go first if you like to collect from this arev. He has to go first to the individual who owes him money. However, imamam almanat she'eframi misha erze, yeframi na'aref. Yeah, but if the condition was when he took out the load, I can collect money initially from whoever I like, can take it from the Arev. Now that's the Marafulda goes into difference. That's the difference in Arev and an Arev Kablan or Kablan. And he says, that, in other words, an Arev is, where the individual says, give him and I'll be the Arev. Kablan, he says, give it to him and I will give it. This is the third party, say, give this person a loan. Ha'omer ten lo vani no ten lecha, and I will pay you back. Right, so that's the difference between the two. However, Shimon Gamliel says no. Im yesh nechasim lelove, if the borrower has means to pay off the loan, bankach or bankach, even if you've got this kablan situation where the arevs, where the conditional loan is, I can collect from whoever, still has to come from the arev. So lo yifra min arev, it does not come from the arev. Sorry. In other words, the person got much to pay. Why are you going to the arev? Take it from the person who has to pay the due. Okay, let's continue. Amar v'charei the arev. If someone lends money based on an Erev, that's we said our Mishnah. So Raval says b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, b'shesh nechasim lelove, if the love has some means to pay off the loan, the borrower, that's when you go to him. Aval ein nechasim lelove, if the borrower doesn't, that's when you go into the Erev. V'im amar, if he says almanat she'eframi mi she'erze, if however the condition on the loan is that I can come and collect from whoever I like, even the Erev, then yefram in Erev. Then you can go to that Rev, afilu yesh al nechasim lelove, even if the borrower has money, because that's how it was stipulated. And of course, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel would disagree with that, as we saw in our Mishnah. Taman, Amarin. Taman is where that is in Babel. They have the statement, and we've seen this all over Babel as well. The Chol, every time you see Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel mentioned, important, we'll see in a minute in the Mishnah. Halach is like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Chutz me'arev, which is our case. The case where, if again, the Arev's involvement was that the lender said, I'm going to lend you money on condition I can collect from either of you. Or the way the Marafulda termed it, where the Arev himself says, listen, give him the loan and I'll pay you, don't worry about it. If in that situation, Rabban Shimon Gamliel, like we said in our Mishnah, says that if the borrower has money, you still don't go to the Arev, well, halacha's not like him. Sayedan. Sayadan is another machloka we saw in Masechta Gittin, and that was where a man divorced his wife almanat that she'll give him some talit or itzla, like an expensive piece of garment, and she lost it. So kohen chachamim, it's nice batel. Kohen Shimon ben Gamliel, he can just pay the value of it, and that'd be fine to fulfill the tnai. Once again, halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel in that case. And the final case, Mr. Shem will see in Sanhedrin, varaya achrona. Raya achrona is if there's a thing in Beit, like a spute in Beit Din, and they asked one of the Baalei Dinim, do you have any proof? And he says, no, I do not. Then, sorry, and then later on he comes back later and says, no, actually, I do have a raya to support my position. Chachamim says, well, sorry, you said you didn't have. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, actually, he says, well, he can now present his claim. Now, that will debate, we'll see more detail later. But that is, once again, halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Now, the Gemara continues. What that means is, the way some of Farshim explain, is that that is only Rabbi Shimon Gamliel as mentioned in the Mishnah. But other brayta, it's not like halacha is like him everywhere. However, the question is, why so? Why do we have such a rule that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, even though it appears like he's a yachid, in all this Mishnayot, the halacha is like it, despite, with an exception of three. And it says, because v'lama amru b'chol makom halacha k'tzuvot show here, there were halacha psukot that he was mekabel from Beit Dino. That's one way of explaining. I'll show you here. Actually, it's not here. It says again, the Pei Moshe says, actually, halacha Rishon Gamliel, sorry, shalacha ksuvot ikarot. They were like established halachas, if you're amukubalot mi pei beidin, also received from beidin. That's kind of explained it the same way. But what's interesting here is that I saw, I think the article mentioned, I can't remember who quoted, but that since it wasn't just his own opinion, it was came from his beidin, had the koach of a rov. Like a rabbin. It wasn't just, he might be presenting like a rabbin position. That's why halacha was like it. Okay, let's continue this in a halacha tet. Kiyotzebo, Amar Rabbi, next mission. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Af ha'arev le'isha b'ktubata. So sometimes you might have what's called a guarantee on a ktubah, and we saw this case, I think, as well in the past. And the husband wants to divorce her, and he has no means to pay the ktubah, then what would you do? You'd go to the arev to pay the ktubah, nachon? However, if you remember, we said yadir anaya, the husband has to make some sort of neder. Importantly, it's a neder al dat rabim that cannot be undone. So say he's not getting a benefit from his wife or vice versa, such that he could never remarry her again. Why? Because kinunya al nechasav shel zev, because this might be a ploy to get them out of bankruptcy. Meaning it says, oh, you have a massive ketubah. I can't pay you off, but you've got this rich guarantor. So I'll tell you what I'll do, I'll divorce, so he'll pay the ketubah and get married again. So to get out of that problem of taking advantage of this arev, then we say that if you're going to do that, if a man is divorcing his wife under those conditions, then he should make a neder that effectively would prevent him from remarrying her again, such that the couples won't try and use this as a scheme. So just scheme. Okay. Mara says, Ki Yotzebo Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Chamui de Barte, the father-in-law of the daughter of Rabbi Chigoy, Havi Arvi was Arev, the Puna of the Ketubah of the Barte de Rabbi Chagai, the daughter of Chagai. And the daughter seemed to be squandering the assets, or this color, the woman, the wife. And therefore, he wanted to divorce her because she was just selling things away at cheap prices. It was just like he couldn't live with her anymore. So Ravacha quite simply said, in that situation, he says, "This is a situation where you want to divorce her, you're short of funds, so therefore, you're going to make a neder such that you cannot such that you, they can't be using this as a scheme to collect money from the Arev effectively and then remarry her. However, Amar Yossi ain't tzrich l'daran now. He says no, you don't need to. Now why not? The Marapulta says she ain't adam mezalzel benechasav kedei la'asa kanunya l'chol mamon she'acharim. Someone's not going to start selling off all their properties at cheap prices just so they can take advantage of an Arev. It seems ridiculous. It seems to be going to a little bit of an extreme. So in this situation, it doesn't make a neder. So Amri Chavari Kamei Rabbi Yossi, what are you talking? Ma ilu diachso viasvun late marechova at late marechova at in the tariff. So I'll show you the Rama Fuli. He says, but Tmiya. He says, v'chi yachso. He's going to marry her. Ain bal chov shelo at of a tariff lo ton nechashik abal marry. I wouldn't have. Let's say not only was he out of money, but he had some creditors, people that he owed money to as well. Then what would happen is that the Baal HaChov would now come and collect from the original ketubah that she, if you like, received, and then now bring back into the marriage. So HaKochach Baal HaNadlan is going to collect it. Imken, if that's the case, Nema Kanunya, so you still got a Kanunya. Vigashena, because it wasn't just to get the money of the ketubah, it was also to sort out, this sounds like, sort out the creditor as well. Vyasovya, because he wanted to collect the ketubah in order to place that in front of the Balchov. Nahi de'in mazal b'nechazav t'yichol mamon acherim. Granted, you're not going to waste the money in order to, just get money like it was money. Yikom v'kadesh yavu Balchov yitrof. But this is different. This is to get rid of a creditor as well. So maybe that's what he would have done. Okay? Therefore, hu mazal z'menechasev shelo, sheloi trof ela nechasim abalo min ha'arev, so that he would be able to collect the money, the land, this creditor that would be coming from the Arev. However, Amar, the response was still, there's no reason to make him a neder. Why? Lo or pare purnan, lo mishkach. So, in other words, you could still say that we could get around the potential rash scheming that this person was trying to get. He divorced his wife in order to get the ketubah to pay off the Baal Chov. Why? Because it could be that that which is the Arev is going to give him will be metaltalin, movable objects. Or it will be made like the Tosefta Ketubah. Now, what's the importance of those two inyanim? Those importance of those two are that the Baal Chov cannot toref, cannot claim metaltalin all things that were from Tosefta Ketubah. So if therefore, that's why, again, according to Rav Yossi, there would be no reason in this context to make the husband make such a neder. Nonetheless, it seemed to be at the end they said to the husband, make a neder if you like. If you're going to divorce your wife based on these grounds that she's spending all your money, make a neder effectively that you will not be able to remarry her. Okay. I think the different ways of explaining the flow of the last bit of the sugya, but I tried to explain it like Marple. Okay, let's continue. Halacha Yud. Let's say someone lends money based on a document, then govam nechasim. This we explained before, a contractual loan, one can claim from nechasim mashubadim, which is from land that he had in his possession at the time of the loan, even if he sells However, Ali de Edim, if it's simply a verbal loan without a contract with witnesses, then the loan can only be collected from Nechasim b'nei Chorin from property as it is disposal and not property that was sold. Similarly, again, you'll see one more statement I'll explain in a bit more detail. If he simply just, it was his own handwriting, the IOU, if you like, that he owes him money, Govar once again also b'nei Chorin. They can only cannot collect nechasim, or should they only nechasim b'nei Chorin? Why? Because despite the fact it was written down, the reason why you can start collecting nechasim mishubadim is because a contractual loan that has signatures or witness on it has what's called a kala. It has, it's more well known. Let's put it that way, very simply. And in that situation, it's more well known than anyone who's going to purchase land from the borrower at that time understands the risks associated with it. That there's a lien already on this land. However, if it's al yedei edim, or even if it's bektav yad, but there aren't edim, there's no kol, there's no late bukala, right? There's no late kala, sorry, that's the expression. It has no kol, and therefore it's unfair or not possible to now say that there's a lien on the property. Okay, let's continue. Similarly, an arev, remember, in a situation when you collect them from the arev. If the arev is written at the after the signatures of the witnesses, well, the call isn't doesn't work. It doesn't have such a call, if you like, and therefore you can only claim nechasim b'nei chorim. However, the Gemara now brings up Ma'aseh ba lifnei Rabbi Yishmael. The Amar said, indeed, yes, you can collect it from nechasim b'nei chorim. In that situation, from the arev and only that. However, Amar lo ben Nana says, what are you talking about? Eino govai, you cannot collect from the arev at all if the arev's after the signatures. Lo menachasim mishuvadim. You cannot collect from either of them. Why? Amarlo, lama, so why can't you collect from anything? You're not a rev on the document. No, the answer is no. Amarlo, hachonek edachad. Let's say someone, you got the lender's coming and literally strangling the guy in the marketplace. He wants his money back. The person owes money to him. Amarlo, another third party comes and says, Hanach, just leave him alone. Vani no ten lecha. I'll pay you. I'll sort it out. Don't worry. In that situation, patur. He doesn't actually obligate himself to pay anything. Shelo al amunato hilvahu, because the loan itself, when it was lent, the money was lent out, it wasn't built on this the trust or the dependency of the arev. He's come after the fact, and therefore, since it's come after the fact, there's no real hischayvut. There's no real obligation there. So that's why Rabbi Yossi, sorry, Benana says that if the arev is after the signatures, you can't even collect from the arev at all. The Gemara says, so therefore, Ezu Arev, what's an Arev from which you can collect money from this guarantor? Shuchayevlo, so Amarlo Bilvahu, where he says, lend me money, vani ton lacha, lend me money and I'll pay you. In other words, Chayev Shechena Emunato, sorry, Hilvahu, because the whole loan was actually formulated and built on the dependency on the fact that, or the assumption that the Arev would be there to pay the money if it couldn't be paid. So that's when the Arev is really in the picture. If it's after the fact, the Arev's really not in the picture. Some Rebbe Shmuel would say, if someone wants to be clever, Yasok b'dinei mamonot. This is the sugyas we should be learning. You want to be clever? Learn the laws of dinei mamonot. She mikto b'Torah gadol mehem shehem kamayinov. There's no greater profession, if you like, or area, or subject, I should say, in Torah greater than that. Shehem, they're like a mayan hanovea, like overflowing spring of wisdom, if you like. If anyone wants to learn dinei mamonot, you should learn from Shimon ben Anas. In other words, what a tremendous accolade, what a tremendous compliment he's been giving him. He says that this is the greatest era of wisdom, and if you want to learn it, this is the person to learn it from. So, in other words, it sounded like Rabbi Shmuel was masking him, greet at the end of the day with the vision of ben Anas. Then an Arab that comes after the signatures, he's not built into, he's not, there's no, you can't collect from it at all. Okay, Mana says, Hamavi Kavro Bishtar, someone lends money Bishtar in a contract. That's from the Mishnah, that's from the Gemara. Rav Huna Amar, Hakdama Psula Vashtar Kasher. So here we're talking what's called a Shtar Mukdam. Now we've learned before, a Shtar Mukdam is a document of, say, a loan, where the date is where the date it's dated to a date in the past, earlier than the actual loan that occurred. Now, in the past, we've been saying that's a pasul document. Why? Because you've created a lien on property that may not have been, so you shouldn't have. For example, let's say that. The person lent, let's make it simple, on the 15th of January. That's when the loan really occurred. But it was dated the 1st of January. If the Love salt land on the 7th of January. Well, according to the real loan that was on the 15th of January, there's no lien on that property. That's a safe sale. But according to the document says the 1st of January. So what, it's going to create a lien that shouldn't be there. Such that now what would happen if you look at the document and the borrower can't pay any money back, then the lender can go and collect that land that was sold on the 7th of January, which he shouldn't be able to do so. That's why he generally said it's passel. However, what we're learning here is tremendous. It's a Rav Huna says, Hakdama, yes. That is passel, meaning you can't, there's no, you can't collect money going all the way back. However, hashtar, the shtar is still okay. Meaning it's not a completely passel shtar like we've been saying in the past. So I'll just show you here. The Maror Fulda says, Shtar shezmano mukdam, lektivato hazman mukdam shebo. Yes, of course, there's no lien going back to the dated time. Aval is mizman aktiva, from the time when the document was actually written. Mizman aktiva, hashtar kasher, and you can still collect it. So, in other words, again, the document is not completely powerless like we've thought. It just means, yes, you can't go back all the way to the dated time to, there's no lien. However, the document's still intact, you can still collect your money back, which is an interesting position. So the Gemara is going to test this. That's what we're talking about. Ha-pruzbul ha-mukdam, a backdated pruzbul is kasher, a muchar is pasul. Now, if you remember, the point of a pruzbul is to effectively hand over all your loans to Beit Din, such that Shmita is not going to battle it. Okay? Now, in that case, it's the opposite is true. If it's muchar, if it's post-dated, then it's a problem. Because the pruzbul is on the effective loans that were prior to the time you took out the pruzbul. So therefore, any loans after that is not covered. But if you post that, you're going to be covering loans that shouldn't be covered by it. So there in that situation with pruzbul mukdam kasher or muchar pasul, it seems to be that the what we mashma from this case, it's completely pasul, not partially pasul. So therefore, so too, a shtar mukdam, you should say the same thing, that it's completely pasul, not partially pasul. So Gemara says, how did the team, it would seem to be that Rav Huna, Rav Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Ben Yakin. So I just read that like the Maror Fulda, that he says, Kulmar Amru Davar Echad, the Rav Huna, Rav Elazar, and Rabbi Shimon Ben Yakin, which I'm not sure we'll see Rabbi Shimon Yakin, if I remember correctly, but they seem to say the same thing. So how so? Let's continue. So what's the case of Rav Elazar? This is a little bit more work. It says, Hada, the Rav Huna of Sin Rav Huna. We're going to actually refine our understanding of Rav Huna soon, according to Rav Fulda's reading. Rav Elazar Amar, Afal Pisha in Alav Edim, even a document that doesn't have actual witness signatures on it, Ela Shatan Lafnip Edim, but that were given in front of witnesses, Kasher. It's a kosher document, Mishubadim. Then you can collect that debt from his nechasim b'shobedim, even though there are no signatures on the document. Why? She'ein chotim al hashtar el mipnei tikkun olam. Because the edim, the presence of the edim in the hashtar is on mipnei tikkun olam. We learned that back in Nesechta Gittin. If you remember, he holds that the critical witnesses are those that are present at the handing over of the get or hear the loan. And the edim, they're written there just in case where we can't find them. Like it's a tikkun olam issue. It's not critical. So therefore, it's not critical if they're not there, as long as hand over, according to Rabbi, again, according to Rabbi Elazar, you'd be able to collect the nechasim mishubadim. How does that prove anything? So let me work through this with you, with the Maror Fulda. He says, I'll just skip down a little bit. Okay, v'fizeh kasha. This is towards the end of the long Gemara Machlokes that kind of basically goes in a bit more detail way explained Rebbe Eliezer, sorry, already. And this is the last four lines of Machlokes Rebbe Eliezer. He says, v'fizeh kasha. The Rebbe heyach machshir oto al yedei eda mesira. How can he validate this document with al yedei mesira to collect from? Harei hazman mukdam lemesira. Because the date in the document is going to be prior to the time that it's actually going to be handed over. So if you remember, the handing, he says, as long as it's handed over in front of witnesses, it's okay, and you can collect Maaseh HaShabbatim. But the writing of the document, since you're not putting Edom on the document, the writing of the document is, the date's going to be prior to the handing over. So how can it be okay? Ela vade must be the sphere la'af al pichen. Nonetheless, hashtar kasher, it's still a good litrof, bo mizman ha-mesira v'ilach. That it must be okay, that it's kasher from the zman mesira, the handing over, but onwards. And that's exactly Rav Huna. Beautiful. In other words, let's say it again. If it's a shtar that doesn't have Edom on the document, it's still you can still collect on Echsim Mishubadim. So the question is, how so? Because again, when is it really engaged? When's the time you can collect it from? When it's handed over. But one second, if it's now hinging on the Edom when this document's handed over for the say the loan, then it's going to be a predated document effectively because it's the dated prior to the handing over. Oh, so it must be that it's not completely pasul as a result. It's, you can collect it from the time of handing over, even though the date on it is prior to that point. You can collect the Nechasim Rishonim up until that point. That's exactly Rav Huna's position. Now, the Gemara now says, Veheichi, how then do we understand the position of Rav Huna? In other words, the case of Rav Huna, where we've got this backdated document, and he says the document's kosher. What's Lameisa the case? If you're talking about the Edim on the document, this is back to his case. Let's say, well, we never testified on such a document. Then Kamisha Eno Vashtar Kasher. So here it's saying, we never ever sign on document this thing, whose time is that? A different document than Kasher. How can Rav Huna say it's kasher? Since they denied the Eidot, it's like it wasn't any Eidot. So in other words, it can't be the witness saying we never signed on such a document. If the witnesses come along now and say, actually, that is our signature, but it was a shtar mukdam, but we said that once you've got signatures on a document and you've confirmed that they're their signatures, they're like witnesses have been crossing, like interrogated by Beit Din, it was kosher shtar. So we won't believe them then that if we say it's a shtar mukdam. So then what case is it possibly that we're talking about a shtar mukdam according to Rav Huna would actually be, let's call it partially kosher. Kosher from the real date, not the early date. So he explains. So the b'maykadun be'inu demarim ken ani ploni ben ploni at me ploni ani ploni ben ploni laviti mi ploni mi ploni arev. So in other words, v'hainu ktav yad she'ein alav edim. Beautiful. It must be that the case that Rav Huna is talking about is where the individual himself wrote the document, meaning the IOU, if you like. V'akochach, and therefore it must be like Shid Rabbi Elazar that holds the kibun. If it's pulled, it's handed in front of Edim, you can collect for Nechasim Mushubadim. So it's actually interesting. We started Rav Huna to say that actually Rabbi Elazar is like him, and then showed that actually the Eliezer, sorry, and then showed that Rav Huna is actually the only way you can understand Rav Huna is if he says exactly the same thing as Rabbi Eliezer, that the case must be that the individual, it's a case where he wrote Kitav Yado, I owe so and so, so and so, and it was given in front of Edim. And because it's given in front of Edim, he must hold, like, if you like, Rabbi Eliezer, that if even if there are no Edim on the document, it's handed in front of Edim, you can still collect it from Nechasim Mushubadim. Okay.